Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, August 20th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Joseph Mendham. Joseph is our Active Christian Living and Music Ministries Associate, so he works alongside Dr. Kelly Hatley in many of the ministries that he oversees. We see Joseph playing instruments and singing in both of our worship services, and he does a plethora of things that hopefully he'll talk about at the end of the podcast. Thank you, Joseph, for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary, for having me. We're going to start off today with Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you in the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. And now let's turn to Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And now let's turn to Ezekiel 25, beginning in verse 12. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The people of Edom have sinned greatly by avenging themselves against the people of Judah. Therefore, says the Sovereign Lord, I will raise my fist of judgment against Edom. I will wipe out its people and animals with the sword. I will make a wasteland of everything from Teman to Dedan. I will accomplish this by the hand of my people of Israel. They will carry out my vengeance with anger, and Edom will know that this vengeance is from me. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The people of Philistia have acted against Judah out of bitter revenge and long-standing contempt. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will raise my fist of judgment against the land of the Philistines. I will wipe out the Kerethites and utterly destroy the people who live by the sea. I will execute terrible vengeance against them to punish them for what they have done. And when I have afflicted my revenge, they will know that I am the Lord.
Thank you, Joseph, for joining us on the podcast today. I want to know a little bit more about you. Where did you grow up? Tell us about your family.
Sure. I was born in Panama City, Florida, but my dad got transferred pretty quickly to Jacksonville, Florida. So that's essentially where I was raised. And I have one older brother. When I was 17, I guess, maybe 16, my dad was transferred to Birmingham. Well, at that point, I was just about to go into college. Actually, I think I was already in college, so I must have been 18 or 19 when this happened. And I had a full scholarship at that point at the college I was at, and my parents just said, "What's the point of you coming up here when you can do at least 2 years full tuition paid for down where you're at?" So they left me at a pretty young age, at about 18 or 19. They came up here to Birmingham, and I was down there for probably 2 years or so before I moved up here to finish college at Samford.
Tell us about your journey of faith. Did you have a moment when you came to Christ? And along the journey, how has he been with you, been present with you?
I was saved at a very young age, I believe. It was probably in fourth or fifth grade, however, that one of my Sunday school teachers pretty much asked the same question you asked. And I was sharing my testimony about how when I was around 3 or 4 years old, I asked my father, you know, how to get to heaven, what that entails, and he shared the gospel with me. And then I believed on Jesus Christ unto salvation. And I don't think this was the intention of my Sunday school teacher, but he asked, he said, "Well, that's awfully young. Are you sure you know, really understood what you were doing and all that?" And I got to thinking about it, and it really started bothering me a lot. And come to find out, I was diagnosed with OCD not long after that. And I was just tormented constantly about whether or not I was really saved, whether I was going to hell, whether I was going to heaven. It was really hard for my parents to see because I was crying a lot because I was just terrified that I was going to go to hell. So they said, "Well, this has to be more than just regular doubt that comes here and there because it's constant. He's constantly struggling with doubting. He's struggling on whether or not he believes. How can he know if he believes or if he doesn't believe? This, that, and the other. So they sent me to various different counselors, and the psychiatrist diagnosed me with OCD, and they put me on fluoxetine to help balance the serotonin levels in my brain, which helped a lot. But that wasn't what helped me as much as Christ himself. For a while, I didn't want to get on the medicine. I told my parents I didn't want to because I felt like it tainted my faith and was making me more reliant on drugs than on Christ. And my medical doctor at the time, the family doctor, she was a strong believer. And she said to me, well, Joseph, I understand where you're coming from, but sometimes that is your act of faith, to trust that God has given humanity the mind and the knowledge to make things to help people that are struggling with that. And that is your act of faith, to trust that he might be using that for you. My doctor helped me in that area. But even after I got medicated, it was still tough. It would come and go. And finally, it was like the Lord spoke to me almost and said, Joseph, you're not saved because of what you've done. I haven't saved you because you prayed some prayer or because you did this or that. Even your faith is great, but your faith hasn't made you more worthy of salvation just because you believe in me. Your faith is imperfect. Everybody's faith is imperfect. But because of my grace, I save you where you're at based on what you believe. And a childlike faith is oftentimes the strongest of faiths because we don't question. You know, my parents shared the gospel with me, and I just believed because I believed it. The older you get, the more you start thinking, oh, how could this happen? How could that happen? This, that, and the other. And I think that's what mostly set it in stone for me, and it took a lot of weight off because I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church, and the church that I was at, they really pushed, pray this prayer, you'll be saved, pray these words, this, that, and the other. And I started studying Scripture, and I saw there's really nothing in Scripture that says pray this prayer, pray these words. It's actually mostly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And through that study and just digging in the Word, I always thought, well, you know, God saves us because of our faith. I thought that. And it's like the Lord said to me, well, I get where you're coming from, but I actually don't save you because you have faith. I save you because of my grace, and your faith is what I save you through, which is a big difference, because if he saves you because you do this, then it becomes a works thing instead of saving you through something. So that's my salvation story. I would say I was saved at a young age, but I would say the assurance of that salvation didn't come until probably I was in my teens. I struggled with OCD and that sort of mental torment probably for about 10 years before the Lord was able to take me out of that.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, because I believe our stories help as we listen to one another to learn how the Lord is speaking to us and how he is working in our faith. Joseph, we see you a lot at Mountain Brook Baptist. I want you to tell us what you do. And then I think you have some other jobs as well. So tell me what you're doing in life these days.
Well, at Mountain Brook, I am essentially the associate of Kelly, which entails a lot because he's not only the minister of music, but he's also the minister to the senior adults here. We call it the Active Christian Living Group. So I assist him in administrative things for them. And then I would say probably what I do most of is music related. So I come in, do that from, it varies. I would say probably average, it's around 9 to 2:30-ish. And then from there, I go back home, let out the dog, change clothes, and then head over to teach private piano lessons at Mason Music.
Now, I know there's something else big that is about to happen in your life. Joseph is engaged. Tell us a little bit about your fiance and when you are planning to be married.
I met my fiance here in Birmingham, Alabama. She is a nurse. Well, right now she's a nurse at Children's, but I met her right before she went into nursing school at UAB. And it was really just, I would say we really just hit it off. So we have been dating for, I would say, maybe 2.5 years. And then I proposed, and she said yes, thankfully. And we planned our wedding to be March 26th of next year. And so her background is a little bit different than mine. She was actually raised Pentecostal. So it's very interesting to talk about our faith and how, you know, we view things differently. But for the most part, we agree on almost everything, spiritually, theologically. So that's great.
I wanted to ask, is there anything in the scripture that you read today that you would like to make commentary on?
Yeah. The Psalms passage, or the Psalm passage rather, really reminded me when I was a little kid, I used to be scared to go to sleep, which is, I think, a common thing. And my father, one of the most godly men I've ever met, he would always point me and my brother to scripture for comfort. So much so that when I was scared at night, when he would come and tuck me in, he actually read part of the psalm to me that I read today about, though, you know, 1,000 may rise up against you, that you will not be harmed. And he just read that for comfort for me, that, you know, if the Lord is for me, no matter what goes on in my dreams, no matter what, you know, goes on, if worse came to worse and somebody were to break into the house, I can rest assured that even if my physical body is harmed, that my spirituality, I guess you would say, would remain intact, and my soul going up to heaven would remain intact. And it was a very comforting thing, especially for a young kid. And then the other thing I noticed in the psalm today was that it talks about how the angels will take care of you and you won't dash your foot against a stone. That was the verse that Satan quoted to Jesus when he was tempting Jesus up on, I think it was at that point, he took him up on a high building and he said, "Throw yourself off. For as it is written," and then he quotes the psalm, that the angels will protect you and you won't dash your foot against the stone. And at that point is when Jesus looks back at him and says, "Yes, but it is also written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." So I think it's very interesting to see those correlations when you're reading the Old Testament, because in the New Testament, you know, Jesus quotes a lot of Old Testament things, Paul does, and even Satan as well will quote scripture. He never comes looking like hell and smelling like smoke. He always comes in a very beautiful manner. Even if he can use scripture against you, he'll do it. So he's very crafty. So I think that's interesting. But we can also know, if we know the scripture as well as Jesus did, which I don't imagine any of us could, but we can at least try, that we know when it's being taken out of context and when it's trying to be used against us. So I think that was a great correlation.
I want to do a few favorites. Tell us your favorite movie, your favorite book, maybe a favorite podcast or song that you're listening to right now.
My favorite book, I would say, is actually a collection of books, which is the Chronicles of Narnia. My mom had me read those through, and I loved them, so I read every single one. I would say those are probably my favorite books. And then for my favorite movie, the Passion of the Christ, I just think is a beautifully made movie. It's quite sad. The ending, I'm glad they show the resurrection. But it's a quite sad movie. So I don't watch it a lot, but when I do watch it, it reminds me of how great it is. On a milder note, I guess I would have to say I'm a big fan of Marvel. So I like the Avengers movies.
And a podcast or a song?
I don't listen to many podcasts. I listen to a lot of music, though. My favorite composer of all time is Beethoven. So I'll drive around oftentimes and just listen to music by Beethoven. I have listened to all his sonatas. He wrote 31 piano sonatas. My favorite piano sonata, is probably, that's a tough one.
It's probably either the Tempest Sonata or the Wallstein Piano Sonata. And it's a tough one, but it's great. It's a great piano sonata.
Thank you so much, Joseph, for joining us. We have enjoyed our time with you. Would you pray for us as the podcast closes today?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the grace that you show all of us and the mercy that you show all of us. Thank you for the love that you gave to us when you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. I pray that you will comfort all those who are listening to this podcast that may be hurting, and to all those who may not even be listening to this podcast but are in the world that are hurting and that are struggling. I pray that you will be with them, that you will love them, and if they are lost, that you will convict their spirits and draw them to you and show them that they have a need for you and your salvation that you offer. I pray that you will guide us all the rest of this day, protect us, keep us safe, and help everything we do to honor and glorify you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name.